you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
We're going to jump back into our series on getting God's vision for your life. So let's pray. Father, Lord, as we come to your word, we just love your word. Lord, I think all the people that come to this church value your word so highly, or they wouldn't be here, because we spend a lot of time in it. And Father, we love it because it is life to us. We love it because it carries your very presence and your thoughts into our hearts. And Lord, it isn't just a book to us. The Bible isn't just a book. Lord, your spirit comes upon that word and releases the very life of God into us. And Lord, you had us praying this morning that every person that came into this place or joined us online hungry, they would be fed and filled this morning. And every person that came in thirsty for your spirit, Lord, they would be drenched in your spirit today. And that whatever you speak to us, we choose right now, we will carry it forward. In fact, it came up this way in prayer that whatever you would remove from us, we would leave behind. And whatever you would add to us, we will choose that we will carry it forward and nurture it. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, so we're going to do some review, because that's just a good thing to do. None of us get things on one pass. I heard a guy that I know, we've actually known him since he was a kid, and now he's pastoring a church in Albuquerque. And several weeks ago, he was teaching, and he felt, and I'm not being critical here, I don't always say things real well, but he felt the need at the beginning of this one service to kind of apologize for teaching. And he was saying, you know, I know that a lot of you just want an encouraging, you know, just an encouraging type word every week, but sometimes I've got to come and teach. And of course, I, as a teacher, am thinking, why are you apologizing for that? You know, we need the word. And so we're very methodical in the way that we teach. And that's one of the reasons sometimes people ask me, why do you always go through all that review? And well, part of it's because I can't help it. It's just the way it works in me. It's sort of a line upon line, precept upon precept thing. Secondly, there are always people that haven't, you know, they're just jumping in for the first time on whatever series we're in. And thirdly, because not a single one of us get things in one pass. We just don't. The psychologists say it takes about 10. So, you know, settle down out there. Okay? All right. So, I love this subject. It's about having an underlying vision from God, and God wants to give you a vision for your life. All right, and if you were here last week, we went into this extensively, but here are some of the things we talked about. I called this the why because the why is, why do we do what we do? Why do we work at what we work at? Why do we relate to people the way that we do? Why are we building what we're building in life? And all of you are involved in something, whether it's an occupation, whether you're retired, whatever you're doing, there needs to be, God designed us to have a why under that. Why do I do what I do? If you don't know the why, which is a divine purpose, a purpose given by God. If you don't know that why, the what loses its meaning. It loses. You're out there working, you're working hard, but if all you're working for as a Christian, I say this to you as God's people, if somebody asks you, well, why do you have that job? Why are you doing that? Why do you? And your answer is, got to make a living. Or got to pay the bills. And I understand, we do got to make a living and we do got to pay the bills. But if that's the answer of why you're doing it, and I have been there, you're going to be lacking something all the time. You're going to be lacking any real deep motivation. You're gonna, the why brings a sense of perseverance. You can get through the dull times, the dead times, the hard times, when you know that there is a divine purpose working in your life. And you can do anything, any kind of work, any kind of whatever whatever you might be engaged in. I keep using the word occupation, and by that I don't just mean a job. I mean what occupies your time, what occupies your efforts, what is your occupation. You can do anything and it be alive. That doesn't mean you're going to enjoy it every second of every day, but it can be alive. It can be satisfying if you know that God is working in the midst of it, and you are essentially living from a vision he has given you as a Christian. What does your life mean? How is God using you when you are out there living life and doing your thing? That makes sense to you, okay? The reason that this is so important is because you are a created being. You are not an accident of nature. You are not just a cosmic accident that comes and goes in 80 years, 90 years. You know, you're here, then you're gone, then you're dust. There was no meaning. There was nothing. This is all just a total accident. You know, that's not who you are. You are created by God, and everything that is created has a purpose. It wouldn't have been created without a purpose. I mean, I kind of don't get a lot of artwork. I understand that, okay? But I mean, there's a lot of artwork out there. It's just there for the beauty. Well, that's a purpose, okay? There's some of it that's out there, and I have no idea why somebody made that thing and somebody bought it and put it up in our streets. But anyway, it's out there. The artist had a purpose. God had a purpose, and the Bible's very clear on that. We looked at those scriptures last week. It's very clear that you were created for a divine purpose, and you are here. All of us are here in this time, in this generation, for a purpose. And when we look around and we get upset with the direction our country's going, the direction society's going, or whatever, and I think all of us do if we have our eyes open, that is job security for you as a Christian. You look around and you see the stuff going downhill, job security, okay? You see people walking away from God, job security, all right? You got to think of it that way. That's why we're here. We're here to represent him. We're here more than represent him. We are here to manifest him to a dead and dying world, okay? Does that make sense to you, okay? So this idea of purpose is really important. And let me just give you one, because a lot of people, we tie the word calling to this. You are called to purpose. A calling is an invitation from God. That's what the word means. It is God inviting you into his purpose for your life. And we tend to think, well, that's just for ministers. Ministers are called. I'm just out here doing my job. No, that is incorrect, okay? So here's just one. I could give you a dozen passages, but here's just one of your favorites. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 says, "And now we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All right, goes on. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Okay? He keeps saying it. You're called, you're called, you're called, you're called. As a believer, there is a call of God on your life, and it's up to you to answer it and say, "Lord," and that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. Lord, how do I connect with that divine purpose? How do I figure? I mean, some of it's obvious to us. We are here as the church to represent him, to manifest him. We are here to reach a dying world. But what does that mean in your daily life? Who is that in your daily life? Where are those opportunities, and how can we prepare ourselves and then reach into those opportunities, not just with some kind of just some kind of rote training to talk to people about God. But how can we, I think all of us, we want to reach in to people's lives. We want to reach people around us with the presence of God and with the living word of God. We want the anointing of God to flow through our lives, our words, our actions. Is that right? You with me? Okay, you sound excited. So let's go on. All right, so here we're just going to touch on these things. We looked at these verses last week. You can always pick that up on podcast or on YouTube. So we looked at this verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in the Amplified. It says, "My son, forget not my law or teaching. Let your heart keep my commands, for this is God's purpose for your life. This is God's promise to your life." Let me say it that way. "For length of days and years of a life worth living." You can have a life that's not worth living. We all know that. Some of us have had periods in our life that honestly were not worth living. And hopefully we have left those behind. It's why in many cases it's when we came to Christ was because we were living a life that was not worth living. I gave my life to Jesus when I was somewhere in my senior year of high school. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I recognized what he'd done on the cross. I received the forgiveness of my sins. I didn't make Jesus Lord of my life, put him in charge for several years. That was more of a progressive thing with me. He was in charge of some areas. I was in charge of most areas, okay, for a few years, several years. Then, one winter, I was smoking a lot of dope. I was drinking a lot of alcohol. I lived in Paonia, but there was no work. We used to shut down in the winter. You construction guys keep working out there. Even if all we're doing is shoveling out the job site for 5 days in a row, we didn't do that. Nobody had the money to do that. We shut down in the winter. So our company had a job down in Grand Junction up on the hill just outside of Clifton. We were putting in a water tank up there. So I was out there running a front end loader, living in a little pup tent in the winter in Grand Junction in the dirt with my little dirty dog. And I had no transportation. My VW was blown up at the time. It dropped a valve. I had no transportation. I'd get down there. Sometimes I'd hitchhike back and forth. I'd try to hitchhike back up to Paonia on Friday night at the end. And I can remember standing out there with my little dog on a string, looking sad and pathetic, my big hair all filthy from the week working there, standing out in the rain with my orange 1970s backpack. It took a long time to get rides. It was sad. It was sad. But anyway, so there I am. I'm drinking way too much. I'm living in a tent. I'm all by myself. I'm living in the dirt. And it dawned on me that maybe God had more than this for me. Maybe this was not a life worth living. Maybe he had something better. And so I finally really turned to the Lord. He told me, stop drinking, stop, and he just started delivering me from stuff right then. And it took time, but life turned around. That was not a life worth living. And I had to get there, apparently, to reckon. You'd think that you could figure that out before you got yourself in that place. But anyway, so what he has for us is length of days and years of a life worth living. If you don't have a life worth living, length of days is not a very good, very attractive promise, to be honest. And tranquility, well, that's good, inward and outward, and continuing through old age until death, these shall he add to you. And what we talked about there is this whole thing of satisfaction from life, fulfillment from life. It doesn't come, our society thinks it comes from working and storing up, building bigger barns, store up lots of money for that old age period. Work and, you know, sometimes, and this is sad, I'm not being critical, people sacrifice their kids, they sacrifice their marriage, they sacrifice all this stuff just to build more wealth so that they can live those last few years on that wealth, and they miss their real purpose through all that time. That is, I think, one of the saddest things there is to live your whole life that way. And so fulfillment in life, it doesn't come from building, you know, a bunch of wealth. And there's nothing wrong with having a bunch of wealth if it doesn't have you. It's fine. But it can't be your purpose. Or I'm going to work until this age and then I'm going to be free. And what that means is I'm not going to have any responsibilities. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to volunteer. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back and cruise and live for myself. That is not going to bring fulfillment. The life leading up to that won't bring fulfillment, and that time will not bring fulfillment. And that's why we have so many people my age and older that are, you know, they're retired for a little while, they're bored silly, and they go find something to do. And we have other people that are going through that time and trying to build that life, that worldly life, and man, they're miserable. And they might not show it much on the outside, but they're going home and they're self-medicating every night. They are drinking, they are smoking dope, they are taking medication of some kind. Their kids are a mess, their family's a mess. God has something better than that for you, okay? And he has something better than that for all the people around you. And that's, we want to be able to communicate that to people, okay? All right, so we ended up here, and I'm going to give it a little review, and then we'll get into some new stuff this morning. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Okay, and in the King James, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. In the Amplified that we're working from, it says, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word. So that's a pretty good basic definition of what a vision is. It begins with a revelation of God, who he is, and a continuing revelation of his word, what he has done for us, what he has for us. When we have revelation after revelation after revelation from his word, this what we call a vision for life, a vision from God, his divine purpose, that unfolds as we go along. We get to, it is found, it is discovered in knowing him. That is the primary purpose of our life, knowing him, okay? Knowing him better and better and better and better in a personal way. And as we know him, as we know his word, we know him, okay? We get to know him better and better. We begin to sense on the inside who we are, who he made us to be, what our real identity in him is, and what his purpose for us, both what we should do is part of it, but more importantly, why we should do it. And all of that begins to come together as we seek God and get to know God. And again, I think this word vision here, it means, we said this last week, it is a divine communication that delivers a message from God to your heart. And the literal definition of this word is it's any kind of divine communication that delivers his message to your heart, okay? So when we say vision, it doesn't mean you are having a vision necessarily. Could be. Could come as a dream in the night. Could come as revelation from the word over and over and over, one building on another. Could come through some of it through a prophetic utterance. It could come in many ways, but it is communication from God to our hearts. And again, this is not a one-time thing. We are to live in a conversation with God. We are to live our whole lives in that relationship with him. And as we do that, this vision begins to develop. I mean, I know there's a few blessed people who have some big vision when they're a kid and they know exactly what God has for them and they kind of go that whole way in their life, but there aren't very many. There aren't very many. For most of us, and I think God likes it this way, it's an unfolding deal. And that just increases the relationship and the faith, and that we got to spend time with him to know what is his vision for our life. So that word, again, it's a direct, specific communication from God. The form of it isn't so important. It's receiving what is said. So that vision from God, that divine purpose as it unfolds, it answers these questions that so many people are asking, you know, why am I here? Why is anything here? You know, it's for God. Everything's from him and to him. Why am I here? Am I making any difference? And I know, especially, you know, we're out there at work, or you're raising the kids, or, you know, whatever it is you're doing, and there are days where it's just like, am I making any difference? We all have that, we've got that spark in there. And I think it's from the Creator. It's something in us that I want to make a difference. I don't just, not that I want to be known and be famous. It isn't about that. But I want what I'm doing, what I'm expending my energy on through life, I want it to matter. I want it to matter. And we can't always see that. But the answer to that question is, if you are living from divine purpose, and you're living from that vision as it unfolds, if that's motivating your life, then the answer is yes, it matters. Whether you can see it or not, it matters. And you never know when one word from you, one interaction, one encounter is going to absolutely change somebody's life. I mean, how many testimonies have you heard like that? Where somebody was just touched by some believer somewhere along the way, and it what they imparted just transformed their life. We never know what all is happening in that area. And I'll just share this. Some of you have heard it a lot of times. Like, I remember when we'd gone through a number of things. I won't start on the whole line of things that led up to it, but we had, in 1988, been watching a show with people from New Zealand, so there's all these long E's, 88. Anyway, we had gone back to Believer Center, and I was on staff there, but I was a janitor. It's what I did. I was leading the nighttime Bible school, but then especially in the summertime when school was out, I was a janitor. It's what I did. They called it a maintenance man. I wasn't a maintenance man. I didn't know anything about building or painting or fixing or anything. I was a janitor, but they were very nice to call it a maintenance man. So anyway, that's what I was doing. And at first, I mean, I had felt God was calling me to ministry. I didn't know exactly what it was yet, but I'd felt that. And then they offered this job, and we went back, rooted up in Durango, went back to Albuquerque, and that's what I was doing. And I did that for a couple of years before anything changed. Doesn't seem that long now, but it did at the time. And about, I don't know, 18, well, no, it was at about the two-year mark in that. There was one day we had this closet where we had all the vacuum cleaners and all the stuff. And I was looking in there, and it just hit me. And I said this to the Lord, and I meant it with all my heart. You know what? If this is what you have for me for the rest of my life, that's fine. I'm honestly satisfied. I can do this. It is better to be here vacuuming in the house of God and praying over the chairs and doing that stuff. It is better to be doing that than to be out there just doing my own thing. And it wasn't just an emotional, oh God, you know, I felt it and I meant it. I just settled in that if this is your vision for my life, I'll do this for the rest of my life. That's fine. That's cool. And it wasn't just a couple weeks that they changed my position over to a associate assistant pastor at that time. But I think I had to get to that place where I was okay with what God had me doing. And he knew at that point, because it was true. He probably always knew it. Maybe I finally figured out, I'll be faithful over this, what you've given me to do for the rest of my life, if that's what you have for me. It doesn't mean I enjoyed it every day. It doesn't mean I enjoyed cleaning the bathrooms every day in a big church. Didn't mean that. Didn't have anything to do with that. it had to do with an inner sense of, you know what, if this is what you have for me, thank you, you know. And it was real. It wasn't something I was making up. And so anyway, things very quickly after that started to change, and I moved into more what I had kind of imagined. And I just think, you know, there just aren't any secular jobs for Christians. Doesn't matter what you're doing, if you're living from divine purpose, it's an anointed, there's a flow in what you're doing, and there will be opportunities within that to manifest the nature of God over and over and over. Are you guys still with me? I feel like I'm just kind of rambling here. We're still reviewing. We're almost there. So, without a vision, the people perish or are unrestrained, as Amplified says. That what that word means is that when we don't have a vision from God, there's no track to run on. There is no course ahead of us. We don't have a directional force in our lives when we don't have that vision from God. You may have a career plan that you came up with, fine, but that's not the same as knowing that, okay, maybe that is your career plan, but what does God have within it? How is God using it? What does he want to do? Why does he have you in that place? That makes sense to you? So Paul talks about this. We're not going to turn there over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He talks about running a race. He talks about the Christian life as being like running a race. And he says, do you not know that all the runners run? Everybody's running a race, okay? You are running the race of life, and you're running it as a Christian. And he goes on, he says, I don't run aimlessly, okay? And he says, I don't fight like I'm beating the air. He says, every one of you, and this is like verses 24 through 26 or 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, run. Everybody's on the track running. You run your race as if to win. You run with all your heart. You run like you are going to win this race, okay? So it's an attitude he's talking about there. And that's what vision provides for us. Purpose from God provides for us is it gives us that track and that direction. And it will get you through those difficult days or those boring days or those challenging days or those confrontational days with what you're doing. You get fried on being there with the kids day in and day. Some of you, you know, you're homeschooling, you're doing all of this. It's a huge job and it is 24/7. And what will get you through that is knowing that what you're putting in those children is going to go into another generation. And you're raising up a group of conquerors in Christ. You're raising up that next generation. That vision, does this make sense to you, will get you through those times because we're all going to have them. All right, get a little bit of new stuff this week. So here again in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, this is what we call an antithetical proverb. There are a bunch of different kinds of proverbs. This is an antithetical proverb, and that's a proverb that contrasts two different thoughts or two different ways of life, and usually it has the word but in the middle of it. It says, da-da-da-da-da, but da-da-da-da-da, okay? And that's what kind of proverb this is. Where there is no vision, the people perish or are unrestrained, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God, okay? So the solution to part one, not having a vision, is found in part two. It contrasts these two lifestyles. One person doesn't have any revelation of God in his word, so their life has no track to run on. We said last week that that word perish, it just means to go every different direction. When people don't have a vision from God, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere, they're bouncing from thing to thing to thing in their life. We said it can be illustrated by just pouring water out on the ground without a channel, and it just runs every direction. That's what life is like when you don't have a vision from God. So one person has that. The next person is happy and blessed because they know God, they know his word, and they're living in that unfolding vision from the Lord. So it contrasts these two different lifestyles. So I want to talk to you this morning about that happy and blessed. Okay, it's kind of interesting because the literal translation of happy and blessed is a state of bliss. Okay, a state of bliss. And we have, the Bible has a totally different idea about what the word bliss means than we do. Okay, so the word bliss, this is a state of bliss that is associated in Scripture with living in the wisdom of God. Remember I mentioned that to you last week. When we live in the wisdom of God, we're applying the word. We're applying it the way he shows us to apply. We're learning how to actually take those principles and live from them. That produces what the Bible calls bliss. This term bliss is, this is just the definition of the word, it's seen as one of the primary results of living in relationship with God. One of the primary results of living in a relationship with God, being happy and blessed, or living in a state of bliss. Okay, so I don't know about you, when I think of bliss, I think of blissful ignorance. I think of somebody who is just kind of walking through life with their head in the clouds and really not aware, you know, of themselves or anything around them. They're just going through life. And so they're kind of happy on the surface because they're not aware. And a lot of times, actually, they're causing a lot of problems as they walk along with their head in the clouds. And they're leaving all this wreckage behind them, but they're not aware of it, so they're very happy. It's kind of that, I think of it as kind of a flower child mentality, you know. I know some of you weren't around, but I mean, they're still here, by the way. You know, just kind of that flower child, oh, just peace and love, and everything's good, and I'm just floating through life, and, you know, I'm not really doing anything. I'm not really producing anything. I'm just kind of going along. I know some people that are now in their late 70s, probably, that still have that mentality. And it comes, you know, from the 60s. I mean, they have that mentality. And this one lady will post on Facebook and it's all this, oh, you know. Maybe that's not you, but that's what I think of as bliss. Happily ignorant, okay? That's not what the Bible means by this, okay? The biblical bliss is a state of God-given peace, okay? Which just means, doesn't mean everything's okay. It means everything's okay in here. I'm okay when there's turmoil around me. I'm at peace because I know God, all right? So it's biblical peace coupled with joy. And joy is not happiness. Joy is stronger than happiness. Joy is a sense on the inside of gratitude. It's living with that sense of gratitude, with that sense of God's goodness, even when everything around you is messed up, okay? Bliss in the Bible is that combination, peace and joy. There's strength to bliss. There's not just, you know, get knocked down, you know, walk out into traffic with your head in the clouds. There's strength with bliss. It comes from walking in the wisdom of God. So when it says happy and blessed, that's what it's talking about. Happy and blessed. Biblical bliss is the result, are you still with me? Of having your heart and mind stayed on God, fixed on God. I mean, you never think of anything else, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. The core, my heart, my mind, my attitude, I'm keeping it fixed on God. Stuff goes nuts on earth, I'm keeping it fixed on God. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm keeping it fixed on God. Go over to Isaiah chapter 26. Can you take a little bit more? Okay. You staying awake? Good. If the person next to you is sleeping, just punch. Punching is biblical. I'll have to look that up. There's got to be an example. Biblical bliss, it's the result of having your mind and heart fixed on God. So Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will guard and keep him in perfect and constant peace." Wow. "Whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed or fixed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you." Okay? So you get it? He commits, I commit myself to the Lord. When stuff happens, I'm going to lean on and lean into the Lord. I'm going to lean into the scripture. I'm going to lean into my relationship with him. And I'm going to hope confidently in him. So it says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, that person. So I want to talk about this a little bit. So it says, the inclination of your mind. Okay, we're going to, happy and blessed is the person who keeps the word. We're probably not even going to get to that today. But here's how I'm doing it on the inside. I am thinking about the inclination of my mind. That word inclined means to lean toward something, right? An incline is a slope. It's what we lean toward. What is the inclination of your mind? That means, what's my tendency in my thinking? When something's happening in life, what's my tendency? Do I tend to confidence in God even when stuff is messed up or something surprises me? Do I lean toward that? Do I lean toward committing that situation to God? Is that kind of the immediate sense that comes up in my life? Okay. Or is it not? Am I inclined toward a biblical solution, a biblical outlook, first of all, on a situation? And do I seek God and seek the word for the solution, for his view, for the solution, for what he wants me to do, who he wants me to be in that situation? Is that just becoming a habitual way of living? That's the inclination of your mind. And all of us are growing in that. So if it's not, don't feel bad, okay? But it gives you a goal, okay? As we develop in connecting with the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that in the Holy Spirit that we have the mind of Christ. He actually lives on the inside of us, his mind. We have access to his mind, to his wisdom. So it's up to us to kind of develop the habit. And when we catch ourselves not doing that, maybe we catch ourselves responding in fear or responding in anger or responding in avoidance or something like that that we used to do. We probably grew up that way. Okay, when we find that, we repent of that. And we say, Lord, help me, because I seem to be inclined this way. I want to be inclined toward handling this the way that you would handle it. Okay? So again, it's that tendency. And all of us, it's just, this is part of the renewing of the mind. This is not, you know, all of us are in this process. Do you respond with faith or with fear? Do you respond with determination? Do you respond with discouragement? Do you have that attitude that says, this challenge came up, this is going to be a testimony, okay? This is a story of faith, right? No matter what I feel, no matter what I can't see right now, this is going to be a testimony. I'm going to praise through till I get my breakthrough. Somebody should write a song. That's good stuff. But really, I mean, does that become, when something comes up, we can get to where, and we'll be kept in perfect peace when we get this mindset that views these things differently. It's not just a challenge to my ability to figure it out. No, I'm going to lean into God. God has a solution. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And then it says, in the character of your mind. And I think that speaks to the fruit of the Spirit. I think it speaks to, is my mind more and more and more in peace? Is it in faith? Is it in faithfulness? Is it in patience? Is it patience both with circumstances and with people? Those are two different kinds of patience. Am I growing in those? Is there a character and a nature that is looking more like Christ? I love watching Jesus respond to stuff. Reading the Gospels and just watching the peace that he has. You know, he's in a storm in the back of the boat, or there's a demon-possessed kid rolling around at his feet, and he's just like, how long has he been like that? You know, I mean, the guy is just cool. And then he's powerful. You know, he responds from the heart of the Father, okay? And he lives by his Spirit on the inside of you. So, you know, what is our habit? Maybe your habit is the other kind of bliss. I'm just going to mindlessly ignore this problem. That doesn't help very much, okay? Somebody's got to handle it. You're equipped. But this is, but get this, I'll say it one more time. This is all a process for every one of us. This is a grow, we'll be growing in this until we see Jesus face to face. So wherever you are, God knows that. Just understand that this is, it says when we keep his word, we can live in this place of peace. All right, you still with me? Okay, let's see if we can do one more piece, then we'll be done. Okay, you all right with that? Does it matter? Okay. All right, so we're going back to Proverbs 29:18. It says, but happy and blessed is he who keeps the law. Okay, keeps the law, keeps the word. That word keep, we've looked at it before, it means to guard, as in to treasure. Okay, to watch over, as to protect. To watch over in order to protect, preserve, and perform. All right, it's a big word. Okay. And I'm going to read this verse too. We're not going to go there. Habakkuk 2:2. We'll probably look at this another week. But Habakkuk 2:2 tells us, write the vision and engrave it so plainly on tablets that everyone who passes by will be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. Now, we don't have a lot of time for this today, but one of the messages of that passage, and of course, this is God talking to a prophet. And he is telling him, hey, the message I've given you, the prophetic message I've given you is for the nation. Write it and make it. It's like make a billboard out of it, okay? Engrave it so it can't be easily erased, okay? Won't be washed away when it rains. Put this truth, this prophetic word out there, okay? So that people, even if they're in a rush, even if they're just blasting by, I'm busy with my day, they can read it. They will see it. Okay? Let's personalize that in our own lives as the Lord brings revelation after revelation after revelation. Write it down because you will forget it. Write it down. Whether you keep a journal, however you do that, write it down. Make it plain. I look at that as the Lord speaks something to me from his word. Well, now I'm going to spend time meditating on what he said and asking him to clarify, to expand, to show me more about what that means. And as he does, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to make note of it. I'm going to make note of it mentally. I'm going to make note of it physically. I'm going to put it in some form. And then I think if we're personalizing this, the part where somebody can, even hastening by, can see it, that speaks of your life. To me, that speaks of our life and the people around us, and people start to notice that you're different. Not because you're trying to act different, but because you're being transformed. And so even as they're rushing by in their life and they're caught up with their stuff, they start to notice you're different than you used to be. And there comes a moment in their life where they need what God has done in you, and they're able to come back, and you have what God has done in you and is doing in you engraved. As we meditate the word, as we think about and pray over what he says to us, it becomes engraved on our hearts. So when you start communicating it to somebody, you're not just telling them somebody, oh, let me look up, you know, I can't remember what the Bible said. You just are able to share what God has done in you. It comes out real because it is real. it comes out personal, because it is personal. That's having that vision engraved on our hearts. Okay, we're just going to cut it off right there. We're out of time anyway. And we'll come back and review that next week. Don't want to scare you away. All right, let's stand up and pray. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yeah.
All right. Several of you. That's awesome. That is awesome. I love the word. Father, we come before you today, Lord. We are your people. And Lord, I pray that this whole thing that you're talking to us about right now, of having your vision and your purpose engraved in us and being the undercurrent, the underlying motivation in all that we do, I pray, Father, this would go deep in us and resonate in us. And then, Father, that we would be able to just continue to look to you and press into you and see that vision develop throughout our life, through all the stages of life, through the different seasons of life. Lord, just that vision, that purpose, that sense of purpose would just continue to grow and develop. And I pray that everyone that is hearing this message or will hear this message is having that experience and increasing in that experience. And I thank you for that. Once again, you are faithful. You are faithful. And Lord, you are the one who brings these things to pass in your people. I pray that not one person that hears this would stay in a place of aimlessness and discouragement, no matter what has happened in life, that aimlessness would pass away and that divine purpose would overrun it, supersede it, override it. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to be dismissed, and we're going to go out and say Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin of the world. And then I hope you'll hang around, love on one another, and if you need prayer for anything, please come on up. I'll be up here. Others will be up here to pray with you. Okay? Let's say it on the count of three. Let's see. Wait. Yeah, this week is 4th of July, huh? Okay. Be good. Be safe. Minister to people. That's all I have to say. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.